number one, or whether I'm going to choose to be entangled again with this yoke of bondage. Now, what's happened again here in chapter number 5 of Galatians is they are all of a sudden, they have seen the grace of God, they have seen salvation, but yet they're being entangled with the law again. They're deciding that it's not only by Jesus Christ, but there's also some parts of the law that we may have to uphold. And verse number 2, he says, "Behold, I, Paul, saying to you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." In other words, he's saying if you're being circumcised to follow the law, what good is the blood of Christ to you? See, we live in a day and a time to where I think people can go to either extreme. I think we have Christians today who are going to the extreme of Jesus saved me and he set me free from my sins. Now I've got the liberty to live and do absolutely anything that I want. Well, let's clear that up real quick. Let's look at verse number 13 of Galatians chapter number 5. It says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty," or in other words, you've been set free, "only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." So in other words, he don't want us to look and say, look, we're no longer guilty of sin. We've been forgiven of our sin. God don't want us to take that and go, so now I can just do absolutely anything that I want to. Because I think, really and truly, I think that if we're living in a place that we're just saying, let me just put it like this. If sin doesn't bother you, if God doesn't speak to your heart and convict your heart when you knowingly and purposefully walk in sin, then I don't believe you belong to God. And I believe I can back that up with the Word of God. So as we look at this tonight and we're talking about this liberty that we've had and that we've been set free, it's not a liberty to just go and do absolutely anything we want to. But like he said in verse number 13, it says it's that you may serve one another by love. But let's continue reading right here in verse number 2. He says, "Behold, I, Paul, saying to you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." In other words, he's saying don't take what Jesus Christ's blood done for your life, how it washed your sins away. He forgave you. You were born into the family of God. Don't take that and try to mingle in a bunch of legalism. Don't take that and try to mingle in a bunch of religious things and say, but now if I don't do this, this, and this, I'm no longer a child of God. Because that absolutely has nothing to do with it. The only thing that has to do with whether or not you're a child of God is, A, did you believe that he was the Son of God, that he gave his life for you on a cross, that he shed his blood for your sins, that he died, was put in a grave, and rose again the third day, and that you accepted that. That makes you a child of God. Not being Baptist, not being anything else, not being baptized, not any of those other things, that is what makes us have the liberty of being a child of God. And now here in Galatians, they're saying, yeah, but I'm going to be circumcised to follow the law. Verse number 3 says, "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law." See, the law wasn't a bad thing. The law was our schoolmaster. The law was what made us realize that we needed a Savior called Jesus Christ. The law was, if there was no rules, then how in the world do we ever know that we were doing things that were against God? And you can go back in the Old Testament and there's all kinds of law. But he's saying here, look, if you're going to say that one part of the law has to be added in order for you to be right with God, then you got to take the whole law into consideration. Don't just pick and choose, you know, and I'm afraid today that that's what a whole lot's going on. People want to pick and choose. Let's not even just go to the law. Let's just go to the Word of God. People want to pick and choose the parts of the Word of God they want to live by. They want to pick and choose the parts of the Word of God. Oh, everybody likes the love and the joy and the peace and the comfort. But there's also some hard sayings that come in here for us that you and I have to chew on and that you and I have to live with and abide by. And as you get into this, and he's saying, look, if you're going to take just one part of the law, you're also in debt to do the whole law. Verse number 4. "Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." He's saying, now look, if you're going to take this one piece of the law and you're going to go and you're going to follow it and you're going to say that that's what justifies me, then grace is going to be no effect in your life whatsoever. Grace, the grace is of no effect in your life. I want to tell you tonight that I'm glad that I don't have to stand on my ability to follow the law, that I don't have to stand on my ability of being able to do good, of being able to do righteous. I don't have to stand on my ability, but tonight I am standing on the grace of God. I'm dependent on the grace of God. If he says don't add nothing to that, I don't want to add anything to that, because the only thing I know to claim tonight is the grace of God in my life. Verse number 4, "Christ has become no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace." Don't let someone tell you, well, I'm glad that you went to church and you made a profession of faith. Look, the only thing that I have to go on is when you come to the altar and you say that I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. That's as far as I can know. Only you and God know whether you have a personal relationship or not. I've been married to my wife for 20 years. I would say if anybody in this world is saved, she is. But the only person that I really 100% know for sure about is myself. And the only person you really know 100% for sure about is yourself. But as we get into this tonight, look, he's saying verse number 4, Christ has become no effect in you, whosoever are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Don't let someone else tell you, well, I know you may have went up there and you may have prayed a little prayer and you may have been this and you may, but if you don't do this, this, and this, then you're not saved. Or if you're still doing this, this, and this, you're not saved. Well, now listen, we all know what sin is and we know that we can't just live in sin. But I want to tell you something. Don't get so involved in a bunch of religious do's and don'ts that your hair has to be a certain length and this and that. You got to brush your teeth so many times a day and all that mess. I'm making that up. I've never heard of that one. But don't get so involved in all of that that you start doubting what God done for you through the grace of God. Because what we're doing then is we're saying, well, what Christ done on the cross was wonderful, but that wasn't enough because I haven't done A, B, or C yet. No, that's not what it's about. It's about what Christ done and only what Christ done on the cross. Verse number 5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. As you look at verse number 6, it's not whether you're doing or not doing any of these things that are in the law, but just as Ephesians chapter number 2, and verse number 8 says, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Look, if there was one person on this earth, now we know Jesus Christ. Outside of Jesus Christ, if there was one person on this earth that was able to follow the law and to be righteous enough to go to heaven without Jesus dying on the cross, I don't believe that Jesus would have died on the cross. Because then it would have been possible for every one of us to do that. But yet it wasn't. So don't get tied up in a bunch of do's and don'ts and you got to do this and you can't do that. And I'm going to tell you something. Once you're saved by the grace of God, there is a Holy Spirit that moves on the inside of you. And the things that are not spelled out in here, I mean that you can just open the Bible and point to it. And you say, well, what about this and what about that? There's one living on the inside of you that'll tell you what about this and what about that. You won't need the preacher to. Hey, you want to come ask me my opinion? I'll give you my opinion. My opinion may be wrong. And I want to tell you this, if my opinion contradicts what the Holy Spirit is showing in your heart, go with the Holy Spirit. Don't go with my opinion. Because I may lead you wrong, but I promise you God's Holy Spirit will never lead you wrong. Now, if you come ask me something that's spelled out black and white in the Bible, and then try to tell me that God showed you something else, we're going to have a problem. Because this don't change. He's not going to change it for me, and he's not going to change it for you. This don't change. Verse number 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh love. It is all by faith in the grace of God. Look, verse number 7 is where we wanted to get to tonight, because this is what was happening. He had been to Galatians, and this church had been established, and these people had come to know the grace of God, and now that they knew the grace of God, and then they were still wanting to hold on over here, and it was like, which way do we go? Who do we hold on to? Are we going to hold on to the law? Are we going to hold on to the grace of God? And all of the momentum that they had to move forward for the glory of God and to point others to the cross was being hindered because of them wanting to go back to the law. So look what he says in verse number 7. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Tonight I want to ask us, are we running well or are we being hindered? You know, I can see times in my Christian life, as I was growing up, there have been times that I have been on fire for God. And I'm going to tell you, the message last Wednesday night, I've been chewing on it all week, may even bring it back up in the message Sunday morning. But that message that we had last Wednesday night on just having those few moments of bravery or those few moments of courage and being able to do something for the glory of God, there have been times in my life when I had that more often than not. There have been times in my life when I was willing to speak up for the glory of God, when I was willing to speak up and tell somebody about Christ, when I was willing to do whatever God called me to do. I can remember praying even as a young boy and saying, God, whatever it is that you want with my life, that's what I want. But see, I've got so mature in Christ and I've grown so much in Christ, I'm being very sarcastic, that I think that I know more about what God wants for my life than what God knows about what he wants for my life. And I've got to the place to where my head is sometimes it's kind of mixed up on whether I want to do this or do that, or God wants me to do this or God wants me to do that. And I want to tell you that there are things that are hindering me. There are things that are hindering me from running well, from being what God's called me to do, from being what God wants me to do. And I'm not talking about pastoring or church or preaching. I'm talking about what God wants me to do out here in a lost and a dying world. Because we've all got a calling to carry the gospel to a lost and a dying world. And man, I enjoy preaching. I enjoy being here with y'all. I enjoy feeling the Holy Spirit of God and getting fired up. I enjoy all of that. But what about out here when people need to know that Christ loved them so much that he gave his life for them? Are we still running well out there? Right now, I feel like fellowship is running well. I feel like God's blessing. I feel like we're growing. I believe as a church body, we're doing good right here, but we're comfortable here. What about out there? How are we running out there? He says, you did run well. Who did hinder you? When I look at my Christian life, I try to look and say, what in the world's hindering me? What is keeping me from running the race that God wants me to run? What's keeping me from having the influence at work that I should have? What's keeping me from having the influence at church that I should have? What's keeping me from selling out for God and just saying, God, whatever it is, that's what I want you to do in my life? Because Paul asked them the same question. He says, you did run well. Who did hinder you? I believe that he was convinced that somebody had come in and they had tried to get these people to say, yeah, you know what, that grace of God is, but don't y'all forget about the law. Don't y'all forget about this side of it. You got to have this side of it too. And I think he knew that there was somebody that had hindered them in trusting in the grace of God. Well, tonight in my Christian life, what has hindered me? Look what he says, that you should not obey the truth. Well, preacher, I'm obeying the truth. Are we really? Because God specifically told us what we're supposed to do out there. I know, listen, when I go through a work day, I try my best to give my company 8 hours of good, solid, hard work most days. Okay, I'll just be honest. I mean, I don't want to lie to you from the pulpit. I want to give them good, solid 8 hours. And you know what? Every year I'm evaluated on my performance. Every year I have to go and sit down with people higher up in the company than me, and they evaluate me on my performance. They look at my numbers and see if my numbers match up to what I say that I'm doing. They look at all of this stuff, and I get evaluated on that. And it's a pretty stressful time. What if God set us down and evaluated our performance? What if next week, hey, you know what? When I have that evaluation with the higher-ups in my company for about 2 months ahead of that, I'm preparing. I'm crunching numbers. I'm doing it. I'm looking at everything. I'm digging deep into my business to see if I'm leaking out margins anywhere. I'm digging deep to see if there's any sales that I should have had, if there's any reasons that I didn't have sales. I mean, I'm digging deep. I'm in there hard because I know there's going to be some tough questions that come at me and I won't be able to answer them just like that. What if God gave us that kind of evaluation? How long has it been since we dug deep for God? Since we said, you know what, God? I know that you've got something for me to do. God, I hadn't been producing for you. God, my life is not producing. Well, you say, well, preacher, we work and we all. Absolutely. But every single day we should be looking for the opportunities to run well for Christ. Well, who did hinder you? Well, there's all kinds of things that can hinder us. First of all, I just wrote down life. Life's busy, ain't it? Life's tough. There's things that come up every single day that you didn't see coming. And life is something that can keep us, can hinder us from doing what God gives us to do. But I want us to know that, as John chapter number 10 and verse number 10 says, we know that the first part of it says that the thief cometh not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. And then the last part of it, Jesus says, but I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So when this life gets busy and this life, instead of looking at it and going, oh man, this life is just getting more than I can handle, and this life, look at it and say, I am living. Now truly, I know troubles and trials come and everything comes and burdens, but we are living an abundant life. And if we're not, it's because we're not where God wants us. Because he said, I am come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. I believe that sometimes our friends can hinder us from being what God wants us to be. Well, preacher, you just don't know. I've known these people all my life, sure. I've had some friends that have walked away from me. I've had some people that said they couldn't be my friend. I've had people that didn't want to hang out with me because of the way that I am. I'm weird. I know that. But I've also got people that don't want to hang out with me because I don't do the things that they do. And if you live for God, there's going to be people in your life like that too. And if you just say, well, preacher, I don't care. These people have been my friends all my life. I'm not saying don't be friends. What I'm saying is there may have to be a time and a place that you go, you know what? This situation, this relationship is hindering me from running well. And I'm going to have to distance myself from this. I've had to. Some of you have had to. It's not fun. It's not easy. But if we want to run and we want to do what God wants us to do, there may be some things that we have to distance ourselves from. Three, of course, this is a very easy one. Sin. Sin will keep you from running well. It will add weight to you. It will get you in a place to where you don't know and I don't know what God wants us to do. Our minds will be so messed up. We'll be in a place that when God speaks that we're not hearing him clearly. We'll be in a place that when God leads us in a direction, we don't know what direction he wants us to go. You let sin, I'm talking about, I know we all sin every day, and I know we like to claim the, well, if we know to do good and do it not, that's sin. That one don't hurt our feelings too bad. But I'm talking about when we purposefully sin and we allow that sin to get in our life, okay? And then when we realize that sin is pleasurable for a season, and we choose to stay there, that will absolutely hinder us from running the race that God wants us to run. I don't know of anything that'll drag you down quicker than sin will. I'm going to continue on so I get done tonight. Our own minds and our own emotions. We can get so tied up in things that are going on. We can get our eyes on the world. We can get our eyes, look, it seems like maybe things are a little better right now, but I can remember, especially maybe back in 2008 when the economy crashed, that everybody was negative all the blame time. I can remember, especially when Autumn and I were first married, and that was back in 99, so let's say in the early 2000s, I can remember people being in the shop and talking about how bad the economy was, and I mean, Autumn and I, we didn't have anything. I mean, we was trying to figure out how to pay the next bill and buy the next meal. And I can remember them coming there and talking about how bad things were and how bad things were going to be. And I'd go home and, I mean, I was like, why do I even live for? This is terrible. This is awful. And I know my mindset was keeping me from being what God wanted me to be at that time. There's no way I could lift somebody else up or be a light to somebody else because I was thinking, but poor old pitiful me the whole time. And if we're not careful, we get around the wrong people and get all that negative flowing in our life all the time. It is impossible for us to be positive about how good God is and how good the grace of God is in our life. I want to tell you something. You put a smile on sometimes when you don't feel like putting a smile on, and you just start thinking about how good God's been to you in the middle of your trials and troubles and tribulations, you'll be able to walk where God wants us to walk. But our own minds and our own emotions can sometimes hinder us from walking where God wants us to walk. But hurt can also. Some of you have been hurt. Some of you have been hurt by family. Some of you had church hurt. There's been all kinds of things that have come. Some of us have had disappointments, confusion. Hey, I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing. Hey, you can get to a place that you don't know which way God wants you to go, and that will get you to where you can't run the race that God wants you to run, and failure. I've had some failures in my life. I've had some things that, man, I just said, this right here is going to be awesome. This is going to be wonderful. I'll share something with y'all. It's kind of personal to me. One of the first years that I was down at United Plumbing that I was actually manager, we was going to have a customer appreciation day. And I went and I bought just an ungodly amount of shirts. I wanted everybody in Surrey County to have a shirt on that said United Plumbing on it. So we just went and bought shirts. And man, I just thought everybody's going to be tickled to death with these shirts. I started to hand them out, and some of my first customers looked at me and said, well, them ain't got a pocket on it. And I just... I mean, it just knocked the wind right out of me. I mean, you telling me that I just went and spent X amount of dollars on shirts, and the first thing you're going to tell me is that don't have a pocket on it? Well, trust me, now I buy shirts with pockets on them. But I mean, I felt like a failure, just pfft. And for the rest of that customer appreciation day, I was just kind of flat. I just, whatever, you know. And if we're not careful, little things in our life. But listen, you're not here to meet anybody's expectations other than God's. Amen. You're not here to make, a lot of people ain't going to like this, but you're not here to make anybody else happy other than God. When God speaks to our hearts and God speaks to our life and he tells us, right here's the direction I want you to go. I want you to witness to this person. I want you to be there for that person. Preacher, what's the point of the message tonight? Look, I believe that at some time in our life, whether it was when we were first saved or maybe when God brought us through something that we didn't know how in the world we were going to get through, I believe at some point in time in every one of our lives, we have all been on that high with Christ. We've all been on that, man, this feels so good. I'm so glad to be saved. I want to tell everybody that I know. And we were running well. What did hinder us? Why are we not there right now? There's no reason. Look, all of these things that I've said tonight are reasons that we look at. But the thing of it is the God that created this universe is still God in our lives tonight. And none of these things that I've even talked about tonight is too big for our God. None of these things are anything. It's not even a blink for him to take care of any of these things in our lives. We got to learn to trust him. I've got to learn to trust him. You say, well, preacher, is there anything too small to take to God? Well, tell me. Tell me this. What is big to our God? Everything that we take to God is small. So if you feel like you're being hindered, you feel like your walk with Christ is being hindered, you feel like I'm not doing what I should be doing, or, man, when I first got saved, I really felt good down on the inside, and now it's just kind of flat. Trust me, because I've been there. Look, one thing that I love about the way the Bible tells us about the children of Israel, how they would get right with God, man, everything was great in their life, and then they'd turn away from God, and then God would get their attention, and then they would turn to God, and they'd get right with God, is because I see my life in that cycle from time to time. But if we'll get right with God and run the race that God has in front of us and don't let anybody hinder us, no, listen, again, it's not up to us to meet anybody's expectations, and it's not up to us to provide any results. That's all up to God. But we can run a race, and we can not be hindered in anything that God wants us to do. Are you hindered tonight? Look, I found myself hindered from time to time. Don't stay there. Don't stay in a place that some of this stuff is keeping us from being what God wants us to be or that we're able to celebrate the grace of God in our life. Give it to God. If you will, stand with 2 feet with me tonight. We're going to pray and be dismissed, and I ask y'all to pray for me, and I want to pray for y'all that we'll just allow God to just be master of our life, to be Lord of our life, and that we won't let any of this mess hinder us from being what God wants us to be. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this day. We thank you for all your many blessings, God. God, I'm such a miserable failure at being a Christian. God, I'm just flesh, God, and I know that. But I'm so glad that I serve a God who has mercy and who has grace. And God, you're not wanting me to follow a bunch of do's and don'ts, but just to stand fast in the liberty that you've given me. God, I know that there are things that have hindered my life, God, from running the race that you want me to run. God, I know there's things that have hindered me from being able to point others to the cross the way that I should have. And God, I pray that you'll forgive me. And God, I pray that you'll help me as we try to lead this church, God, and as we try to bind together as a church and be a place where sinners can come in and find salvation, that we won't be hindered, God, that we won't let this stuff come into our lives that keeps us from being what you would have us to be. Thank you, God, that you loved us so much, that you provided a way that it don't have anything to do with us, God, but it's all about Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.